As the COVID-19 vaccine rollout continues, concern is growing over the challenges faced by some of the most vulnerable populations. How can people with disabilities, both physical and mental, overcome the hurdles of making an appointment and getting to a vaccination site? Well, the LA County Sheriff's Department is doing their part, and it involves the SWAT team. We have LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva with us to talk about the innovative program. Also on the sheriff's agenda, the problem of wage theft. The department has established a task force to protect employees from unscrupulous bosses who steal their pay. And while many people are scrambling for an appointment for their COVID-19 vaccine, in some cases, patients are skipping the second shot, causing chaos in the system and putting themselves at risk. We talk about the dangers as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. I know we're all sick of talking about this pandemic, but unfortunately, we're not able to put it behind us just yet. With multiple vaccines now available and supply increasing, we have a pretty good shot at beating this thing, according to the medical community, if and only if the majority of people get their vaccinations. This can be problematic for those who suffer from disabilities and don't have access to computers and transportation that many of us do. But the LA County Sheriff's Department has figured out a way to help. And joining us right now is the Sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva. Welcome, Sheriff. And I understand that there's this new effort by your department to get the most vulnerable people vaccinated. Can you explain what that is and how that works?
Yeah, this is called Operation Homebound. And we launched this, and I told my chief of Special Operations Division, Jack Ewell, how can we get the vaccination to the people who are not wired and not mobile and can't leave their home and can't go through a complicated reservation system online and all that. And we came up with this program. We have paramedics. We have about 26 paramedics in our emergency services detail. We also have about 200 licensed emergency medical technicians, EMTs, throughout the department. So we wrote to the governor. We wanted to change the requirements for issuing vaccinations, and we got EMTs now qualified to do the vaccination. So expanded our pool, and let's make it mobile, and let's take it to people where they can't leave their homes. And this is how the Homebound program was created. And yesterday was our first effort. 23 houses were visited, and it was just very touching to see caregivers in tears realizing they finally get their loved one with a vaccination.
Now, this is a significant outreach, it seems to me. And so for people who'd like to get involved in this, how does that work? And how does sheriff's personnel handle this with all the other duties that they have to deal with?
Well, it's a priority for us because this is a life-saving effort. These people are the ones that are going to wind up in the ER. They're going to wind up in intensive care on oxygen because they're the most vulnerable. They can't speak for themselves. So we have to defend them the best we can. And it is working fine. We have our website, lsd.org. You can click on there. You can go to follow the instructions there. You can call our Sheriff's Information Bureau, our 24-hour hotline, which is 213-229-1700, and leave the information there. And they will include that individual on their list of homes to visit. And it is working as intended. And definitely we're going to transition from this to the homeless once we get through all of our homebound personnel.
It seems to me it might be a good idea to put that contact information on our foxla.com website, and we'll do that. How do the Sheriff's Department, how do you function in light of all the rising crime issues that we're dealing with? And what obstacles do you face as you roll this out?
Well, we're always short personnel and resources. And when with the whole defunding movement and the county holding funding to the sheriff's budget, it makes us really put in a hard place because we have a rising homicide rate, 150% the first 2.5 months of this year alone. So we need to have more investigators. But what we're doing is we have the people dedicated and trained, like our SWAT team and our emergency service, the ones that do all the rescues in the mountains. They're able and willing, and they are rolling up their sleeves, and they're out there fanning out throughout the county. And they're doing that. And then we have other people, you have to walk and chew gum in this organization. So we have multiple people deployed doing different things, everything at the same time. And it just takes a coordinated effort with a lot of dedicated personnel.
This information gets out there. A lot of people may start calling your phone number asking for you to come by and give them a shot. Is there a limit to how many people you can help out?
Our only limit is the amount of vaccine that we receive from the Department of Public Health. And we're anticipating that number should be growing because the population that we're targeting, they're not going to go to a clinic. It is strictly, you know, we're here, you know, we're here to help. We got to come work together. So we want to get the public health to give us as much vaccine as possible. And we're using the Johnson & Johnson. That way, this is a one-shot wonder. We don't have to go back to the same location. And when we target the homeless population, that is going to be a very difficult crowd, because getting the same person twice is not an easy task. With this one time, one, we'll be able to do that. And we're already mapping out our strategy on that.
Are you experiencing any pushback in the community from people who are saying, well, I don't really want to do that?
Oh, not at all. No, trust me, the community with people with disabilities, learning disabilities, mental ones or physical ones like cerebral palsy, autism, all these different families that are dealing with this, they've been reaching out and they are begging for us to come visit them. And we're doing that. So no, that quite the opposite. And remember, we're all in this together. So I think people have to accept this. Sometimes law enforcement, we're going to take non-traditional roles when it comes to life and you know, public health. And this is one of the non-traditional roles that we're more than welcome to adapt and roll up our sleeves and let's make it happen.
Can you walk us through a day for an officer out there giving vaccinations to people who are in the target group?
Well, they're going to have a list of addresses and names in their QE, what they get from our website and from our information bureau. They take that list, they have it broken up by groups, and they're going to fan out over the county by groups. And then obviously geographically, they'll have a small group with the vaccine and with the personnel. And some of them takes a lot of coaxing, especially when we're dealing with people that are on the autism spectrum. Like we had one visit yesterday, 45 minutes it took to engender the trust of this individual to the point where they were okay. And they rolled up their sleeve. They were not verbal, but they, you know, they rolled up their sleeve and kind of tapped their shoulder. Okay, I'm ready. And as soon as they hit it, the mom of this kid was crying. She was so happy that they finally got the vaccine. So it takes effort. Each one is not like, you know, your average adult that goes to a clinic and they just line up and you know, shoot them up. This is a lot more evolved.
I guess there's a certain gratification to helping out people at a time when help is needed, really. But I'm curious, among deputies, obviously in every community, there are those who, for whatever reason, they just don't want to become vaccinated. They just have their own personal issues. Do you find in the sheriff's department there are deputies that just simply do not want to do this? Does that create any safety concerns as far as them interfacing with the public?
We haven't found that yet. We did a survey internally. We had about 70% want the vaccination, and we're approaching that number already. So our reservations, they were 100% full by all of our first responders when we were doing it in-house. These very same people that were doing the in-house vaccination, they now transition into the homebound, and they're going to continue with the homeless population. We did a video. We did it for our department personnel explaining the vaccination, the importance of getting it. And it's been widely received by the department and with full support. And the people doing the vaccination program right now, which is our paramedics and our EMTs, they cry sometimes along with the family members because they just see the joy. It's something that's, you know, you have to be a rock not to really be impacted by just the welcome reception they're getting.
Understood. Sheriff Villanueva is going to stay with us for another segment. Coming up on Fox 11 News In Depth, a discussion that includes talk of a new task force intended to protect workers from unscrupulous bosses. We'll be right back. We're back with Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Sheriff, we talked about a new project in the last segment. Got another one we want to talk about. This one has to do with a new task force, the Wage Theft Task Force. What exactly is that? And it sounds like stealing out of the tip jar, if you will. What's going on here?
Actually, if it was that simple, we'd be all in a better world. Unfortunately, wage theft is the biggest theft going on right now. And it's greater than all forms of robbery, grand theft, petty theft, embezzlement. Everything combined is a fraction of what wage theft is. Every week in Los Angeles County, laborers, wage earners, salaried individuals, union members lose on average $26 million per week. adds up to about $1.5 billion a year that is stolen in wage theft. You have unscrupulous employers that have they're serial hires. They'll hire people, and when it comes time to pay them, they fire them, and then they hire the next victim, and they go on and on. Or you work for 10 hours, they get paid for six. All these different games that are played by just bad employers out there. And they obviously lower the cost of labor, and their unfair competition for honest employers who are doing all the right things. So we're setting to impact that. And we launched our wage theft task force, and it's a labor of love, and it involves all of our department personnel in patrol. They're taking first reports. Our human trafficking task force, they're involved in doing the investigations on wage theft. The State Labor Commission is participating well on their investigative arm. And the district attorney has a dedicated DA who's all going to be filing wage theft cases that arrive to criminal level. And we're going to have a tab on this on our website at lasd.org that gives you the details on how to report being a victim of wage theft.
Excellent. So we'll want to come back and follow up on this and see how this is going. But you mentioned the district attorney. Let's pivot and talk a little bit about your relationship with the district attorney, George Gascon. This past week, he marked his first 100 days in office by saying things like this. Let's take a listen.
Since I took office, I have instituted a series of reforms based on data and science that will enhance the safety for our community while reducing racial disparities and the misuse of incarceration.
Well, what's your reaction to that? What's your reaction to his first 100 days? I understand you support the recall effort against him.
Well, I can tell you this, the science and data that he's speaking of is paid for by the very same people who bankrolled his campaign. That little detail he kind of left out of his equation. That's very important. There is no science or data that supports it. They're using fake push polls that are already steers the person who's taking the survey into a predetermined outcome that they want already. So you pay what you get for, the results you want. So that is not science and data at all. I can guarantee you this, we had 201 homicides handled by our department last year in our jurisdiction. If I interview all 201 families of those who were killed in LA County, they're going to have a far different outcome than his famous science and data he's speaking of. What he's doing is he's reducing or eliminating consequences for people engaged in violent crime and somehow trying to sell the idea that's going to make us safer. It's not. That's why I'm supporting his recall.
You know, you've had a good way to describe this is a rocky relationship. There have been one or two times you've reached out in an effort to try to form a joint task force for political and government corruption cases. He rejected that, saying he wanted to maintain a certain level of independence. How do you describe that relationship between you and the district attorney?
Well, he viewed that as an opportunity to throw basically a left hook at me, but the conversation we had preceded him, that was with the previous district attorney, Jackie Lacey. And we've been involved in investigating corruption in the public sector for decades now. And this is nothing new. We're just trying to be more effective at it by obviously combining our forces with those of the DA, their DA investigators. So, you know, we're still going to be pushing ahead and do what we're supposed to be doing, investigating crime. And we want him to do his job and actually prosecute people and hold them accountable for engaging in violent crime. That's, you know, victims matter at the end of the day. But according to him, it's only criminal offenders that appear to matter to him.
So your report card on him on the first 100 days is what?
I would say it'd be a resounding F. I say that without any reservation, primarily because if you want to reform, the first thing you do is you have to sit down with all the stakeholders and understand what the impact of your reforms are. He didn't do that. He came in the first day in office and said, here's like Moses, here's the Ten Commandments, and this is what it is, and take it or take it. That is not reform at all. That is a dictator. And the results are going to speak for themselves. First 10 weeks of this year, our homicides are up about 150%. That number in of itself is alarming. But then you start reducing or eliminating gang enhancements, gun enhancements, multiple victims, all these different enhancements, taking death penalty off the table. All you're doing is eliminating the consequences for people who already decided to engage in violent crime. That's not going to make us any safer.
All right, Sheriff Alex Villanueva, thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to hearing more about these projects, the vaccination project, and also this project on wage theft. And we'll talk to you again. Thanks again. And coming up on Fox 11 News in Depth, we'll take a look at vaccines and get a sense of exactly what's happening with regard to people who are afraid to do such things as getting a second shot. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and as we move into another tier of vaccine availability, it's encouraging to realize that big inroads are being made. Nevertheless, it seems like the closer we move to the end zone, the more questions arise. And here to answer some of those questions is Dr. William Wang. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Dignity Health Glendale Memorial Hospital. He's in charge of the vaccination programs. And Dr. Wang, what do you currently view as the biggest obstacle to getting people vaccinated?
Fear is the biggest obstacle. The other thing is that there seems to be a 15 to 20% no-show rate. Sometimes the patients forget to come, and other times they might be sick. But fear is the biggest problem that we're noticing.
Now, anecdotally, I've been hearing that there are cases in which there are people who don't want to take the second shot. It's not forgetting the second shot. Are you finding that to be true?
Yeah, actually, just today in our drive-through here at the Dignity Health Sports Park, I spoke with a couple of patients that said that the first reaction of having a fever and a little bit of chills, they show up here and they're like, I just don't want to go through it again. I tried to explain to them, having gone now through three waves here in LA County and seeing the death that occurs, over 23,000 people here in LA County unnecessarily dying or passing away from this. It's worth the risk of having two or three days of uncomfortableness rather than passing away.
It is probably worth a second to just talk about why you get the chills or the fevers or the aches or the pains. And I just had my second shot. First one went like a breeze, didn't even know the needle went in. But the second one, I had a little bit of chill, a little bit of ache, a little soreness in the arm. Nothing major. It was minor compared to some of my friends, one of whom ended up in the hospital for a weekend. But the thing is that you're getting these effects, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're getting these effects because the first shot gives you little antibodies, and when the second shot comes in, the incoming is greeted by an army of little antibodies that are beating up on you, and that's why the body is reacting in the way it does. Do I have that right?
You have that right. The other thing that's really important to stress is that if you don't get a reaction the second time, that's okay too. We've had a number of people getting concerned saying, oh, I didn't get a reaction and did it not work? Everybody's different. And some people get the reaction, some people don't.
And some people are asking me questions and I can't answer because I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. But the thing is, that there are people saying, well, after 3 months or 4 months, do I have to get another shot? Is it over? How long do the antibodies last? Why don't you fill us in on that for a second?
Yeah, so that's one of the things we don't know. We don't know how long the antibodies will last from this. We presume it's better than having COVID and having the COVID response. It lasts for about 90 days, the antibodies. We think that the vaccine lasts longer, but probably this is going to be something that on a yearly basis, we're going to need a booster.
Kind of like a flu shot. And with the vaccine eligibility now open to those with disabilities or underlying conditions, are people relying on the honor system? Doctor's notes aren't required, right?
That is correct. We are relying on the honor system. We're not checking. Just make sure that you bring your medical records with you to see if you meet all the criteria. If you meet criteria, come and get vaccinated.
One of the conversations I've been having with folks lately, even among friends, is the AstraZeneca vaccine. And this vaccine has been through all kinds of trials and exercises and drills, and yet the news that's coming out of Europe is not particularly good because it talks about blood clots, it talks about strokes. We know that some countries have temporarily halted the use of this vaccine, but we also know that the World Health Organization just came out and backed it. What is the situation with this vaccine? Why are there these concerns?
So the concern is that when you start a vaccination process and you have more people entered in to getting the vaccine, some of the more uncommon things get out, and then the media picks up on it, and then you start to see a trend that you may not have seen because the sample size on the original testing was not large enough. And so they're doing the right thing. They're taking a stop and just re-looking at the data to see, is this associated with the vaccination or not?
One of the things that struck me personally as I was getting my shots was the paperwork that I read in advance of doing it that said, this has not been approved by I had the Moderna, by the way. This has not been approved by the FDA. It obviously it is not. It's been a federal emergency recommendation that it be approved for emergency use, but it's not been approved by the FDA. How are people to look at that when they read paperwork like that right before getting a shot?
Yeah, so this went through the same testing process as all vaccinations do. The big difference is that they went into production about the same time that they put in to get the permission to use the test, right? So that's the first thing. That's the part that was accelerated. The actual testing, safety, efficacy of this was not changed at all. And like everything happens in sequence, one little part was moved ahead. It's really important to know that it's as safe as any of the other vaccines that we've put out before.
All right, just 15 seconds. What's the bottom line?
The bottom line is please get vaccinated. Take any vaccine that you're offered. All three vaccines do the important thing. They prevent you from dying.
All right. Dr. William Wang, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. And Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back. If you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us.